Hello, Cancer, and welcome to Good as Gold, the 2014 mid-year reading from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis, your astrologer, who will be explaining a little bit of this and a little bit of that, mostly about why it makes so much sense to keep a spiritual and pragmatic focus on feeling good about yourself, and then how to turn that around and have that feed you in some conscious, tangible way, a few different conscious, tangible ways. I've got a lot to say. These are interesting charts that we are living with these days in the second half of 2014, where the Grand Cross that has so profoundly influenced so many people from December 13 into late July of 14 has now moved on. Part of what's moved on is that Jupiter spent a year in your sign. I would note that Jupiter's presence in your sign might have felt a little like being a punching bag or one of those things on the highway that's designed to absorb the impact of vehicles that go out of control, or being the cooling system for a nuclear power plant. The presence of Jupiter in Cancer this time around, it's a once every 12-year thing, was not the usual Jupiter in Cancer, which can be usually very positive. In this case, it was protective. In this case, there's some opposite of Murphy's Law that was working for you that was more like things could have gone a lot worse. Be glad they went as well as they did. And if you're concerned about what you didn't gain, be happy that you preserved what you have as well as you did. And I would imagine you did pretty well. There could have been a lot more impact on you from this Grand Cross had there not been Jupiter in your sign. And then the fact that Jupiter was in Cancer for so long and so centrally focused on the whole drama of this Grand Cross that unfolded over many months, you had some special responsibilities. And those are just starting to ease back a little bit, and you still have plenty to do, obviously, but you know, the intensity level has ratcheted down some, and at least you are no longer the overwhelmed point of focus that you were with Jupiter in your sign. So just to sum that up, Jupiter in Cancer provided protection and a quality of preservation, but then at the same time it added a lot of responsibilities, and those responsibilities may have come with not putting the kind of focus on, you know, who you really are and what you really want to do, although I would say that now is the time to do that. First, since I've started with that, I want to begin with what I was planning to begin with, which was an idea from esoteric astrology by Alice Bailey that talks about the role of the sign Cancer in the astrological system. This is confirmed by the oldest known document in astrology called the Thema Mundi, and I could speculate about the connection between two systems of astrology that are not really supposed to have very much in common, though I think that their common root long predates modern astrology, and by modern astrology I mean going back about 2,500 years to when the current system emerged almost intact, as if someone brought it from somewhere. What Bailey says about the sign Cancer, it is like the birth canal of humanity. It is the sign through which the human race comes pouring in. And when it comes pouring in, it does so often without very much in the way of individuated self-consciousness. People pour in almost with a hive mentality, or primed with a hive mentality. Children certainly seem a lot more aware of themselves as individuals than most adults do. Children are more connected. They are more, they're closer to our origins. And then as adults, the adult personality takes over, we find out that a lot of humans act like ants and are part of a kind of a super organism that is does not include too much in the way of individually conscious entities, right? And so there is a transition that is focused around the sign Cancer, which is that, first of all, the transition is about the experience of incarnation itself. But then that takes people who have a strong Cancer signature in their charts and, in a sense, forces the issue of individuation. And because it is so nascent at the time of incarnation, there's a slumber that seems to be present, and also a forgetfulness about how many times we've lived and how much we have learned. That's a lot of pressure to wake up, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you were feeling that. For sure, the events of the past year have pushed you there and compelled you to focus yourself and to recognize how much you have, to recognize who you are, and to focus a purpose for your existence. And that purpose is not going to come from anywhere but inside you. It is already resident. You arrived with intentions, or we might think of it as you arrived with individual instructions that, depending on your belief system, are your commitment. I like to think that we make some choices about who we are and that we do our best to fulfill the promises that we've made to ourselves and are able to, you know, maximize our growth potential because we're doing the right thing at the right time. But in any event, there's an adventure story here with being born in the sign Cancer, because it is this very busy place in the human story. And then there is this need to wake up. And it's a powerful need. The parallel in traditional astrology is in this chart called the Thema Mundi, as I mentioned. And the Thema Mundi is the chart of the world. That's what it's called. Anyway, it's a teaching chart. I don't think that it's a literal chart, but it might be in some way. But I don't think of it as such. I think of it as the teaching tool that it's been used as for many, many centuries, at least when it's been known of. And that chart has Cancer rising. And so we have this assertion by Bailey that the, who's writing in, you know, 1951, that Cancer is the sign of incarnation. And then we have the chart of the world. And the chart of the world, the Thema Mundi, has the sign Cancer rising. That orients the zodiac around the sign Cancer. And I think that is really interesting, especially for you. And if you have lived feeling like you're part of something larger, that is an illustration of how that, you know, a diagram kind of how that might be. And we see it confirmed from two very different eras separated by 25 centuries at least, and they tell basically the same story. Now, looking at the chart oriented on the sign Cancer, we find out that the number one thing you can do in this lifetime for getting things done, for fulfilling your purpose, for being available to others, for having fun, is to feel good about yourself. I realize everyone seems to have this kind of a puzzle or paradox about feeling good about themselves. And some people take Prozac, some go to therapy, some like to base jump. Other people like to float around on their yacht. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is the inner experience of really knowing that you are alive and feel good about being alive. The sign Cancer has as one of its properties a certain fluctuation to it. Anything associated with the sign Cancer is going to have that cyclical quality, and typically it is a rapid cycling quality because the planet that rules the sign Cancer is the moon. And so you don't necessarily feel the same way about yourself every day. You don't feel like the same person necessarily every day, and you do have to work with that. There is a real, you know, ride with the tide and go with the flow quality that is necessary in the sign Cancer. And, you know, in that process, looking for common ground. I mean, one of the things that can provide that common ground is that the sign Cancer is closely associated with maternity and taking care of other people. There is a generosity to the sign Cancer that has its limits, but you understand that when someone arrives in your home, you might want to find out how they're doing on the whole food and water thing, and maybe they need to check their email. And so you understand that as a Cancerian or someone with Cancer rising, or especially with the Cancer moon, that it's incumbent on every person to take care of the people around them. That's not a big deal. You know that there's plenty to go around, and that provides you with continuity. It's a very important form of continuity, and it's one of the reasons why I would encourage people with the sign Cancer to actively take up the role of nourisher rather than judge it in some way and let someone tell you that, you know, you shouldn't be doing all this caretaking. You know that you have limits, and we're going to talk about those limits, but I think that it's better to err on the side of the purpose of nurturing others. And this would be, you know, something very helpful to integrate in to any concept of art, creativity, or business that you might have, because it is such a core fundamental reality of who you are that it's going to affect everything that you do, and it will influence everything that you do, and it's kind of a reference standard. But there's another dimension to this. The second house in astrology is an extension of the first house. The second house is the house of values, and in modern psychological astrology, of self-esteem. Originally, it was the house of what you have available, the house of your food supply, the house of your available cash, the house of your resources. So it's kind of like if the first house is about I am, the second house is about I have. And the I have works on a number of different levels. The I have might work on the level of the amount of money that you have in your pocket, and it might also relate to how resourceful you are in terms of being able to work with others, work with the community, and take leadership and move resources to where they need to go. Now, you have the sign Leo here. And as I began with saying that the most important thing that you can do in this life is to feel good about yourself, the reason I'm saying that is because Leo on the second house indicates the potential for very strong self-respect, profound self-respect. And more than in other, let's say, chart setups, having Leo on the second house equates to the more you do, or the better you feel, or the more tangible action you take on that sensation of belonging on the planet, of honoring who you are as a person, of having authentic respect for yourself, the more you're going to tap into your resources. So there's a direct correlation between self-respect and how wealthy you feel, with wealth being measured on a wide diversity of measures. And it was the theme of Monday that gave me the idea of equating self-respect, self-esteem, and one's sense of resourcefulness. And that chart is set up with Cancer Rising, as is the chart that I'm using for Cancer Sun and Cancer Rising and Cancer Moon. So therefore, Leo becomes the access point. Leo becomes the point of harmonization. And I would say that it is, it would be brilliant of you to do everything you can to feel good, whatever that might take. Now, I know this is not your necessarily, you know, your average everyday spiritual advice, though it depends on where you're going for your ideas, though some people are onto this one, and it's certainly not something I would emphasize as the first point for every sign, but I emphasize it for you because it connects to so much of what you are and who you are becoming. And an essential element of that feeling good and therefore being resourceful is recognizing your individuality, your individual value in the world. Now, this is a difficult subject to explain. It's easier to look at specimens of people who don't feel good about who they are and show all the ways in which things are not going to work out so well because they've closed off their reality to such an extent that there's no opening up. There's nothing. If you don't go looking for something within yourself because you don't believe it's there, you're not very likely to find it. And if you find it, it's going to be by accident and you might or might not value it. So I would say that understanding that you play this integral role in the community and giving yourself the respect you deserve for playing that role around you. You don't need to overemphasize it. You don't need to aggrandize it in some way. We're really talking about just being on level ground with yourself. And that would be about consciously making your life about self-respect. And this is very challenging in this time of history because what we are taught is over and over again, more than in times past, to specifically devalue our contribution, to disrespect who we are, and moreover, to not individuate, to not emerge out of the mass of humanity, to not really be able to say, I understand who I am, and have that statement be a statement of self-respect. Now, there are a lot of planets concentrated in Leo right now, and that is a very good thing for you because it's adding a luck factor. It is adding a resources factor, really. I mean, it's you started off pretty good without any planets in Leo, but now if we add the Sun and Jupiter and Mercury and Hermes at the moment, one called Requiem on the day that I'm doing this reading, and then the slowest moving point in Leo right now called Sila Nunum, two words, Sila, S-I-L-A, hyphen Nunum, N-U-N-A-M. That's a body with an orbit of about 290 years, so it's out a little further than Pluto, and its names mean spirit and matter. And so there is a materializing element described in Sila Nunum that I've also seen evident in Leo about materializing things from ideas. It's a little bit like the process whereby the energy of the sun combines with carbon dioxide, and then you get a big, thick tree, and the tree is made out of air and sunshine. Think about that when you handle a piece of wood. There is an actual process known as photosynthesis where a plant is able to take carbon dioxide, which is dissolved carbon, in the air. Well, it's bonded and dissolved in the air, and combine that with energy from sunshine, another Leo function, and synthesize something that is solid, alive, and useful. And if you think of your self-esteem, self-respect connection to Leo as being a kind of photosynthesis where you are actually able to make things using resources that are just kind of floating around, like carbon dioxide, then you'll understand why it's so important to get that engine running, to tune that that self-respect, because it is a dynamic process that actually can make wealth all by itself. One of the things to do is make sure that your values about money are healthy. There are a lot of very negative values about money. There are a lot of artists who will tell you in one way, shape, or form that they don't deserve to have money or that what they're doing is worthless. And I think that it would really support you to have an ongoing yoga of expressing the value of what you do in the most tangible, practical ways. Put your stuff to work. Put your ideas to work and put the things that you make to work. You have an eminently practical chart to be able to do that. Okay, now, speaking of, I'm going to move through the houses and go around the circle more or less in order. One point I want to make is the orientation of Libra on your fourth house. The fourth house is the house of security. Part of feeling good and therefore being able to function well in the world for you is about living in a space of beauty. And I suggest that as part of this self-esteem exercise and what you might think of as the preparation for doing your best work and then entering that work into some kind of a commercial enterprise, is make sure that all of your spaces are beautiful. Libra on the fourth says nothing if it does not say beautiful home. It can also mean beautiful office. I am a Cancer rising person. I like all of my workspaces to be homey, cozy. There's got to be something cozy about them. And I like all of my home spaces to have a practical quality to them, but also to be aesthetically pleasing. That means everything that I purchase is a thing of quality. That would also work for both Leo and for Libra, the way that they manifest in your chart. Make your investment in things that will last rather than things that are not going to last. I mean, this is very basic. However, you always do better when things last a while. And even if you upgrade at some point, you have an extra or you have something to pass on, and you want to celebrate the idea of abundance rather than emphasizing the idea of scarcity, and we really do have a choice in the matter. And right now, with all of this placement in Leo and Libra rather active because the North Node is there and there are eclipses there, that is saying to really stretch the concept of abundance and make sure that you're being generous with yourself as much as you can, and in terms of facilitating this. Now, one interesting thing that's going on in your chart is that Scorpio is on your fifth house, the house of creativity, the house of risk-taking. It's also one of the more playful houses of sex, and having Scorpio there is very nice. It puts Scorpio in the place where it does quite well, which is the fifth house. One little bit, you've had Saturn transiting this house for a long time. This can have one of maybe three major manifestations. First of all, Saturn fifth can have the sensation of a sexual dry spell. Can also indicate a creative dry spell in some ways. It can also indicate a sense of being emotionally blocked that is connected to sex and creativity. But there's another way that this can work, which is to impose a structure on you that then becomes a structure that you have to work within. And when you're working within that structure, you can actually get a lot done. And there is a kind of a prototype making thing that can happen where if you can't take something out to a mass market or stretch it or expand it in some, you know, very large way, that building the prototypes and getting your ideas together in very well-formed ideas. So take that all the way to the end of ideas, really having an understanding of what you want to do once the flow opens up a little bit. That is another possibility. So I could take the working with constraints thing a few steps out, but think about that in terms of any response you might have to the feeling of being blocked in some way, of the feeling of there not being enough on the dimension of passion. This, by the way, goes back about a year and a half. Saturn is making its transition into Sagittarius. That is going to stretch out from December 14 out to about November 15. So there's a long transition where Saturn will be straddling the line between your fifth and sixth houses. We'll be able to test this theory when Saturn makes its first foray into Sagittarius late in the year, and we'll see if that doesn't offer you some relief and some additional flow. I think that it is good to keep sex energy flowing as best you can. I think that it is a metaphor for life, and it's also a way to tap into your core energy and to be experiencing the change and flow of being alive through healthy expression of sexuality, which in your case means an experimental edge necessary with Scorpio on the 5th. Now, there's another expression of Scorpio, Saturn and Scorpio for you, which is about clearing out old karma. This is one thing that you may be doing, and I would say that there's a number of possible manifestations of this, one of which is emotional level work. It also may involve being reflective about past relationships. But also, if you think of the fifth house as being the art studio, it would be very wise of you to use this Saturn transit as a way of clearing out your workspace, of really digging down to the bottom, of reviewing past work and seeing where you've done, what you've done and where you've been, and looking for ideas in that past work, kind of mining for ideas. Saturn likes to go deep. And then also making room for the flow of new ideas, because Saturn has a way of subtracting things, and you have to direct the power of Saturn to subtract things that don't belong there, that you don't want there, or that you don't need. And that there is in your creative workspace, and it's also in that creative workspace in your mind. So Saturn in the fifth has a sensation of being a review process. So while you're in that review process, and while the stars are naturally pointing you in that direction, it would be a very good thing to do to review and restructure, and then, you know, be ready and open for whatever comes next. Let's go one more house in, Sagittarius on the sixth house. There's a caution here about busy work. It is vital that you know what you're doing at any given time and that you know why you're doing it. If you find yourself going out on errands for 3 hours, which amounts to some places half of a working day, you might want to check and see if those errands are necessary or if there's a way to integrate them into other flow so that you or have a more natural means of, getting around. In other words, like you wait for a time when you have to be in that particular shopping plaza to do things there rather than bouncing around town all the time and, you know, getting caught in traffic, because the efficient use of time is essential for you. It's essential for all of us right now, because it seems like there there is so little time to do anything, and I don't think I'm just imagining this. I mean, I'm not sure what exactly is afflicting us with time, but it almost seems like there's a time leak in the universe. You're someone who needs a lot of time and a lot of space to do what you do, and I suggest that you, at the very least, make sure that you concentrate large amounts of time, or as large as you can get them, for the specific purposes of this sort of elevated level of creative interaction that you want to get to. With Sagittarius, there is also, two thoughts kind of collided there at the same time. Let's just go back one thought, which is why it is necessary to not quite get so caught up in what is trivial. Generally, it's not going to serve you that well. So the main reason I'm suggesting being very careful about trivialities is that there is what appears to be a significant healing agenda in this Sagittarius sixth house for you. And that would say that you want to keep your activities on the most healing-focused purpose level that you can do so, which means really thinking about the bigger things and not the smaller things. One of the reasons why you might obsess over lots of small things and keeping yourself distracted and busy might be because you feel that there's actually too much to resolve in this healing space. But I assure you that once you start focusing on one item, whatever you might consider the most important item, that it will go a lot more easily than if you don't do anything, or if you don't, if you allow yourself to be completely distracted by things that have nothing to do with your healing agenda. So said another way, this is a message about having a healing agenda and then making sure that you start on one thing, not even necessarily the most important thing, but start on one thing that might, be affecting you in some way, and devote yourself to that and allow that to become a kind of a model or a kind of a hologram for what you need to do. It's also possible that this emphasis on healing is so powerful that it's going to become an element of whatever you're doing in terms of your artwork, your creative work, your creative contribution, and it is probably the most closely related thing to healing your self-esteem. This, by the way, includes all of these points in the sign Sagittarius, which is your solar sixth house. And right now, Sagittarius is acting like a kind of a dustbin where all of the unresolved karma of the human race is being swept and waiting to be dealt with. And some of it's being transformed very nicely as points one after the next move across the galactic center, although astrology really is about being guided by the movements of the planets and then providing your own energy into making the right thing happen for you. Brief comment on relationships. We've talked about this a little bit, which is that there is a powerfully obsessive point in your relationship house. That would be Pluto. This is a very interesting placement. I have to say that all of the early cliches and predictions about Pluto and Capricorn seem to come true during the beginning of the cycle, but that now it seems that given the many ways Pluto can manifest and the fact that no one since the American Revolution has lived through Pluto and Capricorn, that it's taking on many different forms. But I would caution about one thing, which is being involved in any form of an obsessive relationship. If if you're involved in a relationship that is close and that is passionate, it's very important to keep an eye on the obsessive quality and to make sure that there is an emphasis on creativity and healing, and that the relationship does not become a self-serving enterprise. There's another factor in cancer right now that is, you know, a pretty important factor, which is that the asteroid Juno is about to arrive in the sign Cancer. It's going to make a long visit through that. And what that is saying is that it is necessary to be your own partner first. The world places a lot of emphasis on romantic relationships, way too much emphasis on romantic relationships, on their importance, on how much time they're supposed to take, on setting up all kinds of rules. We are in one of these phases of history where a person is not considered a person unless they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And I would say that, well, first of all, one of the things that Pluto in Capricorn represents for you is a long-term, deep, far-reaching transformation, restructuring, mainly a restructuring. We are talking about Pluto in Capricorn, of your concept of a relationship. This may be disorienting because you don't have all the usual apparatus and prongs and hitches to connect things to, because those are the things that are being changed in this restructuring. And so if you can manage to keep yourself out of scenarios that are purely obsessive for its own sake, or obsessive because they're going out of control, and focus on a relationship with yourself, you may find that you liberate a huge amount of energy and that you retreat back sufficiently to be able to identify people who are capable of relating to you in a new way. Now, to do that, you have to be very observant, because there are not, by the numbers, that many people who have a different idea of what a relationship is about, or who even have an idea that they've actually thought through carefully. Really, that's the problem. And so while you have this orientation on self-focus and self-respect, and while the healing agenda is so strong in your chart, and while there seems to be a slight slowdown factor on the romantic passion thing, at least for many people with a strong Cancer influence in their chart, and while Juno is about to arrive in your sign saying you really need to be your own partner and to be able to express your needs to yourself in a clear and respectful and non-resentful way, that is actually a very productive setup. And one thing that is, you know, obvious in my at least observation is that a lot of people who are deeply devoted to their art have, along with that, a concept of relationship that is different than many of the people around them. Often this is to facilitate their work, because they wouldn't be able to do the work that they do were they so obsessively involved in romance like so many people are. And so there's a necessity to have a different approach to the idea of relationship, and to really be careful about who you choose, because you need to choose people who are supportive of what is often a fragile approach to life, which is a creative rather than exploitative approach. And you want relationships that are harmonized with your creative process rather than relationships which are distinctly not harmonized with your creative process. Now, this evolves into the eighth house, and that is saying that spend some time in groups and make sure that you take your time choosing people to be with, and that you choose from among choices. If Aquarius on the eighth says one thing, it is about understand the nature of community as it relates to how we have individual relationships. And it's also saying be observant in groups and choose from among choices. Now, among the other really interesting and distinctive things about the sign Cancer is that you have Pisces on the ninth house. You know, one thing about the sign Cancer is that it really is the natural chart. It really is the chart of everything where it belongs. Now, it doesn't mean that your life always feels that way, and then planets come along and kind of mix and match the system. But when you look at the layout of Cancer on the first, Leo on the second, Virgo on the third, you get this beautiful image of the world in order, the universe in order. And in the order of the universe, having Pisces, a sign associated with a cosmic spiritual orientation, or a, let's say a cosmic orientation, on your ninth house, the house that's associated with your concept of spirituality, that is saying that you have a much bigger view than anything you ever read about in a book. And I would propose that anything you read about in a book points to something much larger. It gets a kind of a an intellectual reaction going where you're able to synthesize more. And the beauty of Pisces is that one thing it shares in common with Leo is that it is a potent creative well. And so that sense of being harmonized with the universe, I'm starting to think of the ninth house as being one of the most important houses of self-esteem, because it talks about connecting to the, what New Age and 12-step and many other programs call, the higher self, the higher power, however that works for you. And without that connection to one's higher power, whatever that might be, it might be creativity, it might be nature, it might be some distinct sense of what God is or isn't, not really possible to feel good about oneself. In fact, it's likely that there's going to be a fair amount of struggle. And this is a very well-stocked house for you right now. There are slow movers in there. There are three of them, probably a few more if we dig a little bit deeper. But the three most significant slow movers are Neptune, Chiron, and Borysici. And these are all planets associated with faith and with healing and with relating to the world in a way where that is the orientation of spirituality, of religion, of meditation, of philosophy, would seem logically, in a practical world, to be all about healing and all about feeling like one belongs, oriented in a natural way here in here on the cosmic physical plane. And so you have got that. And so if you are pursuing a spiritual path of some kind, I would say keep going, but also make it real. Neptune is allowing in a lot of creative energy and a lot of possibility for diverse ideas and also a contact point. But what Chiron is saying is make sure there is a practical element to what you're doing and that this is not all happening in theory. Borysici warns of one thing, which is to be extraordinarily conscious of what you believe, because what you believe is likely to manifest in a way that you perceive as being real. And it's worth checking what you manifest against what your beliefs are and what your beliefs are against what you are manifesting, what actually comes your way. So if something happens that you would want some more of, ask how your beliefs have facilitated that. If something happens that you want less of, ask how your beliefs maybe have facilitated the getting the little bit extra and what beliefs you can adjust to reduce the amount of or flow of what you don't want. But B is for Borysici, and it is for belief. There is an awesome article in the Planet Waves archives called With Love from Borysici. There should only be one article by that title. Maybe if you stick it in quotes, you'll increase your chance of finding it on the first hit. With Love from Borysici. I wrote this in early March of 2011. I believe it came out on March 3rd or something, 2011. And maybe the only coherent article on Borysici that is available anywhere. Let's move on to a vital house, maybe calling this the last house in this discussion, that is the 10th house. The 10th house is a place that most people never get, and I suggest you spend some time there. Fire signs are important signs in any chart, and the sign Aries is especially important for Cancer because it is the sign that orients you on your highest goals. This is a worldly house. It is a house of mundane authority, mundane power. It is a house of leadership in the worldly sense of that. And you are someone who identifies very strongly as a leader. Whether you think of yourself this way or not, there are many ways to kind of mask and disguise leadership. But I would suggest you take the mask and the disguise off and just allow yourself to be a leader. I say this because the 10th house is that house of executive power, and then the sign Aries in your chart is placed on that. And Aries always brings the factor of I am into every chart. And so what Aries on the 10th is saying is, I am a leader. But there's a lot in this house right now, and there are some challenging and potentially disruptive points, and it is necessary for you to really shape and craft your concept of leadership around the idea of justice. There must be balance. There must be fairness. There's a revolutionary streak that you have going through this house right now, and that is suggesting that when you are in a position of leadership, don't be afraid to do things differently. Just make sure that that difference is an actual fundamental difference. For example, not merely in style or in appearance, but the actual difference between being fair and being unfair. Right? The difference between understanding what is the appearance of justice and what is actual authentic justice. Make that discernment. Focus on this concept of justice. The planet involved, there's planets, several planets involved, including Uranus and Eris and the South Node, which of themselves are not especially oriented on what is right, right? Uranus just wants change. Eris just wants whatever it wants. South Node is saying, well, there's something here that does need to change, but the real actor, I think, here in terms of calling the theme for you is Astraea, the fifth asteroid. There was a very long gap between the fourth asteroid and the fifth asteroid, more than 30 years between those two discoveries. I believe the fifth asteroid is Vesta, and that's in 1807, and then comes Astraea around 1845, 1 year before the discovery of Neptune, and Astraea is the goddess of justice. And that's why I am coloring that theme. Aries could be very self-serving. Uranus and Aries can be very self-serving, as can Eris and can the South Node. And so Astraea is saying, well, there's more to life than being self-serving, as you know, but there's more to ambition and leadership than being self-serving. And one of the most important factors there is the justice factor combined with a service factor that you are always needing to think about and make sure that you apply in that practical and Cancerian way, because, you know, it is necessary to feed the children and feed the village and to make sure that one's home is kept. And these are all practical concerns that facilitate everything else, basically. So, you know, you're definitely not the notes from underground type of revolutionary. You are more the let's live well and live differently kind of revolutionary. And really, that living well and living differently, since it actually amounts to things like eating real food, is revolutionary at this time in history. Okay, so those are some ideas to get you going. If you have questions, which I'm sure you will, please formulate them and get them ready for the Q&A session for this whole reading series, which is likely to be the third or fourth week of August. When I get back from a little trip down to the Washington, D.C. area, we'll schedule that event and talk more about this. I would also refer you back to the Cancer Birthday Reading, though I think probably everyone listening to this got the Cancer Birthday Reading. That one broke all records. But there has been so much information coming through the sign Cancer, really, for everyone, that pretty much any astrological information you encounter, you can put to good and productive use. All right, your Cancer Rising Astrologer here, signing off. If you are Cancer Sun, please do check your rising sign. No matter what your moon sign is, because you're born under the sign Cancer or Cancer Rising, I suggest that you listen to the sign associated with your moon, because that is going to be such a powerful factor of identity for anyone born with the sun in Cancer or with Cancer Rising. Thanks for listening. A pleasure as always, and I'll catch you in that conference call in late August. Thanks, and bye for now.